copy your friend's lives and pass one on to you. Well, how do you think that I found out that Henry needs new shoes? But I'm convinced that she could find something better.
Welcome to another edition of Gossip Talking Blues, the podcast from Great Dark Wonder. Hi, this is Martin.
And this is Leslie.
Today's podcast shall be the first in a series that showcases some of the wonderful artists who are performing at the second annual Soda City Music Festival in Gravenhurst, Ontario, over the first weekend of August.
Our first guest today is Josh Fewings from the May Hemingways, the fuzz folk duo from Peterborough, Ontario, who have just been announced as one of the many fantastic acts performing at the Sawdust City Music Festival. Josh, thanks so much for checking in with us today.
No problem. It's great to be here. This is nice to be on a podcast. I think it's the first one I've been on that I know of anyway.
Oh, wow. Well, we are honored to be your first of what I'm sure will be many podcasts. So we had the good fortune of seeing you guys during your tour in support of Bill and Joel Plaskett last year. And you also formed part of Joel's band on that tour, which I think gave you a really cool experience of performing on the hallowed stages of Massey Hall in Toronto. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, sure. It was kind of neat. I had never actually made it to a show at Massey Hall to watch one. So my very first time was sort of walking in the sides, you know, small stage door that is there. And it was just sort of a jaw-dropping just how big it is, but how sort of when you're on stage, sort of how comfortable and sort of cozy it feels. I think it seems kind of funny for such a big room, but it really had this sort of, the audience is right on top of you, and you know, just obviously being aware of all the folks that have played there, it was pretty mind-boggling. I pretty much just had a smile. I couldn't stop smiling for sort of the whole time we were in there, and even going for dinner and coming back. And it was one of those big moments that I'll definitely never forget.
Right. And especially as you know, the Massey Hall right now is preparing to go under some extensive renovations and is going to be closed for quite a while. So to have that opportunity must have been an absolutely great honor for you and Benj to be part of that show with Joel and Bill. So obviously we caught up with you guys again earlier this year in Tweed, Ontario, when you opened a show for the Sadies. And that show gave you a great opportunity to share some of the new music that you guys were releasing from your Skipland album. As an artist, that progression from finalizing that new music and album to getting ready to head out on the road and tour with the new tunes as your main focus, which is more challenging for you, that first creative process or that second promotional and on the road doing the grind kind of process?
For me personally, I mean, I tend to, my input sort of just comes through drumming. I'll offer Ben some ideas. He's sort of the driver on the creative stuff. So I'd say for me, I definitely find the grind to be a bit more difficult, or it's just a little, because I'm just not directly writing a lot of our stuff. It's difficult. I also find, I mean, I book a lot of our shows at this point, and that can be really, really time consuming, and you sort of have to wear a few different hats when you're doing that work. So I guess that in combination with sort of just the driving to gigs are the really hard parts of it. But once you get out there and you know, play a couple shows, it really feels worth it. You know, it's just getting past the difficult sort of parts of it for sure.
Well, you've definitely toured extensively over the last few months, and I think you're going shortly to Edmonton for another gig. So as a pair of at this point, well-traveled and road-savvy troubadours, what experiences have you gained and learned from, you know, having lived life on the road? Any particular city or event, other than, of course, Massey Hall, that stands out for you?
There's, you know, I mean, we've mostly toured Canada. We toured Europe in the fall for the first time, and that was really interesting. But it's the only time we've gone. So With Canada, we have sort of a, what I really love about it is, I mean, just the geography of different places. There's so many parts of Canada, and they're all quite different from each other. The people are amazing all across Canada too. You know, there's a such a range of people's of backgrounds that people come from, sort of, that we run into. But I would say, we have a definite stronghold sort of in Alberta from just because there's such a strong independent music scene there. So there's CKUA radio, and that really gets music out there throughout the whole province. So that's, and we have some just great friends from going there, and we recorded there. So in Nanton, just south of Calgary, a couple times. So all those experiences sort of lend it to be a sort of a home base. Also, I just absolutely love Newfoundland. It's such an amazing place and people. And so we're going there in August, actually, and performing at sort of, I think about 10 shows on the island, sort of all across the island. And that'll be our sixth or seventh time going. So we just have these, you get to meet these great people, and every time we go, we sort of find a new place to play. So it's those two places really stick out. But I mean, there's so many great spots sort of across the land, really.
Right, and you mentioned the word August there, which leads nicely into my next question. August is just around the corner, which means that that you guys will return home shortly. Well, almost. To Gravenhurst. It's just a short distance from Peterborough, after all. Miranda Mulholland has outdone herself with the vast amount of talent on the lineup at Soda City Music Festival this year, and with yourselves recently added to this bill. What are you guys looking forward to the most about being a part of Miranda's second festival in Gravenhurst and almost having that homecoming event for yourselves?
That'll be excellent. We haven't played sort of up in the Muskokas a ton, so it'll be great to get up there and meet some folks. It's a great lineup. I'm really blown away. I think it's really awesome that it's like so many of the headliners are female artists. I think that's, you know, a lot of festivals, unfortunately, for whatever reason, aren't always balanced gender wise, and I think that's really cool, and just the level of talent of those artists is fantastic. So we're looking forward to, you know, seeing some friends that we have in some of those acts and meeting other folks. Like I know Rose Cousins is playing, and Benj actually bought her guitar flight case from somewhere else that used to be hers, you know. So there's these little funny things that I look forward to hopefully catching up with some of those people about, you know, and it'll be great to check that festival out. I've heard it's a really, really neat event. So,
yeah, we were fortunate to be there last year, and it was a fantastic event. And I think it will be even more spectacular this year. Moving off topic just slightly, although I know that Benj does most of the writing, I'd still like to ask, your first album, which was called Hunter Street Blues, a number of the tracks were sort of focused outward, you know, for example, on the economic troubles that people in your own town of Peterborough have experienced. And when I heard Skipland for the first, second, third, fourth times, because I listened to it several times, it seems more personal, sort of focused a little more inward. Did you guys approach the new album, any differently, or did the Benj's writing sort of lead you in a slightly different lyrical direction, just sort of logically?
I think it sort of happened sort of organically, but, with the Hunter Street album, we were sort of inspired by, our friend's band. They're called Tin and the Toad, and they're from, sort of southern Alberta. And they have a record that, really highlights sort of things in the area. So I think that was sort of like one of the inspirations for looking in, like sort of inward on the community. In terms of looking inward on the self, I think maybe just from, because we've been, touring so hard for the past while I guess just really sort of are well into, I guess, our careers. I think he sort of looked inward with the writing in that sense. And I think maybe wanted to have something a little bit different in the content, lyrical content, but it also did just sort of happen organically. But that's the case there.
Well, Josh, this has been a great conversation today. Let's go ahead right now and share one of the tracks from Skipland. But before we go ahead and play that, Josh, once again, thank you so much for taking time out of what I know must be an absolutely crazy schedule for you right now to field our questions. And we not only wish you the best with the remaining dates on your tour this year, but we are naturally going to be in Gravenhurst and we'll catch you there and look very much to experiencing your wonderful music again, and hope that all music fans that are planning to attend Miranda's second annual Sawdust City Music Festival will come out and do the same. Josh, thank you so much for joining us.
Excellent. Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for all you do. Have a great day.
Francis, the youngest unhooked truck driver. They wore a mesh back wherever they go. Francis, the youngest unhauled truck driver, having adventures that been on the road. They made Winnipeg as the sun was rising. They pushed through the two lines of Northern Ontario. The waitress greeted them as she was smiling. Said you're cute, but high reach and pedals, I don't know. Francis, the youngest long-haul truck driver. They wore the mesh back wherever they go. Francis, the youngest long-haul truck driver. Having adventures that day on the road. Crow's nest passed, the snow was falling. The flakes that were big, loaves of fresh bread. The few on the tire chains and up they kept climbing. Till they reached that high summit, downward they sped. Francis, the youngest long-haul truck driver. They wore the mesh back wherever they go. Francis, the youngest long-haul truck driver. Having adventures out there on the road. They met Bud the Spud in Quebec's eastern townships. Pulling to a truck stop by Saint-Louis du Hall. They asked Bud how he drove through Canada so fast. Bud said, if you don't like my driving, call 1-800-KISS-MY. Francis, the youngest long-haul truck driver. Mesh back wherever they go. Francis, the youngest long-haul truck driver, having adventures out there on the road. Went to St. John, New Brunswick to see Uncle Peter. He was scraping the shingles on the side of the garage. Went to Bay Shore Beach and looked at Partridge Island. Saw the Celtic cross winking through the summer fog. Francis, the youngest long-haul truck driver. They wore the mesh back wherever they go. Francis, the youngest long-haul truck driver. Having adventures that day.
Thanks again to Josh Fewings from the May Hemingways for spending some time with us today here on Gossip Talking Blues. As we continue to preview the second annual Sawdust City Music Festival, which takes place next month in Gravenhurst, Ontario, let's shift our focus to another artist who will be performing at the event. With their wonderful blend of three-part vocal harmonies, the Good Lovelies will be making their Sawdust City Music Festival debut as one of the Saturday night main stage acts at the Opera House. We are delighted to welcome Carrie O from the Good Lovelies, who's joining us here today. Carrie, hi.
Hi, Leslie. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. So the Good Lovelies are no strangers to us here at Great Dark Wonder. Your music's been featured in a couple of our previous podcasts, and we chatted via email earlier this year with your bandmates Sue and Caroline about your latest album, Shapeshifters.
Well, thanks.
Busy
for your
times for you guys. So how are things going since your most recent album release?
Yeah, you know, it's been great. It's actually the album came out in February, but we sort of always jump the gun every year and start touring in January as soon as the snow will let us leave again. and we've released this new album that's a lot poppier than our former albums, and we're going back to places who have seen us once or twice before, and we're a bit nervous about those first plays to audiences, hoping that they'd be on board with our new sound and our new band. And so far, so good, she says with fingers crossed.
Excellent. Well, that leads perfectly into my first question here for you, Kerry, because Shapeshifters is certainly, like you say, a new direction musically for the Good Lovelies. And it's a trend that we've seen from a few other artists that we follow in 2018 too. Examples include both the Young Novelists and The One, so I'm sure you know pretty well, being from Newfoundland too. But how did the three of you collectively decide to make that decision to go with some changes and diversify that signature sound, you know, to evolve your music and move forward?
Yeah, it's a good question, and one that wasn't, like, the answer to that question isn't that we had any intention of changing anything, but what we do with each other is give each other space to write music that matters to each of us, because the three of us are contributing songs. And, you know, we are three individuals leading very separate lives in three different towns. So, I mean, certainly our influences are broad. So when we got into the studio, I suppose I could go one step back and say we had chosen a new producer this time, which maybe that was our subconscious way of shifting our sound. We decided we wanted to work with Dan Ledwell out in Nova Scotia for a few reasons. Just, you know, sometimes just the change will bring out new things in us. I wanted to go to a place where the three of us had to uproot, at the same time, just uproot life and go somewhere like sitting on an island. It felt like we were in a cottage, you know, and the whole goal of being there was to write this new record. So there we were, and the songs we brought to each other that we got the most excited about were the poppiest, were the ones with a hook that, and we just went with it.
So, Kerry, the Good Lovelies will be performing in Gravenhurst and sharing the stage both with Amanda Rayom and Rose Cousins. What were your initial thoughts when learning that you'd be paired with these artists in this terrific all-female headlining event? And what should music fans expect from you all in particular?
Well, Rose and Amanda are both very funny women, and the Good Lovelies have a history of quite a lot of banter and silliness. So I anticipate there's going to be some jokes on stage. Maybe not much music. Who knows, really? My hope is a lot of five-part harmony. And we're all sharing the house band. So we're going to be playing with Brett Higgins and Josh Van Tassel, which is great. So we have this sort of cohesive super band on stage with all of us.
Well, that must be amazing. We are so looking forward to that. But one thing that we've learned from chatting with musicians like yourselves, and especially around festivals in particular, is that we often forget that performing artists are fans too. We had the pleasure of hanging out with Oh Susanna last summer at a concert in Toronto, and she told us exactly that she just wanted to be there to enjoy seeing a band play. With this in mind, are there any other artists scheduled to perform at Sorta City this year that you are particularly excited to hopefully catch live?
Well, if we don't catch them live, my hope is that we catch them backstage for, like, forcing them into songwriting scenarios with us. I think we're going for the whole weekend so that we can take in everything. Like you said, I don't know if this is true for every artist, but for me anyway, we go on the road, spend 4 to 6 weeks out, depending on the type of tour. And we're playing our own show. And I come home, and the last thing I want to do is go out at 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. and pick up a new show. So the way that the excuse, of course, for festivals is, oh, I get to play 45 minutes, you know, this one day, and then I get to take in, you know, 20 hours of music by people I love. And that's when you see music on the road. So I am looking forward to watching every single show, and they've done an amazing job with the lineup this year.
Right. And since you mentioned that you're sticking around for the whole weekend, which we're glad about because we will be there as well, you already know how charming the Muskoka region is, especially during summer. Aside from performing, checking out other musicians, hopefully having some downtime, what else do you hope to find to do over what I think is a long holiday weekend up there?
This festival happens right after my person. This is very just my own personal experience that weekend, because I know Caroline, Sue, and I are going to do everything we can to write songs while we're together, because we don't live in the same town. We'll probably squirrel away and do a bit of that. But I am going to have just run my, I will have just run my first 10-mile race in St. John's, Newfoundland, called the Telly 10. And I need to remember that I still enjoy running. This will be a week later. And I'm going to go find the most beautiful trail in Muskoka and do another long run, just so I don't forget to move my body a bit. And I think it's going to be pretty easy to do that.
Well, it's been wonderful having this chat with you today, Kerry. We'll go ahead and wrap up momentarily with a featured track from your most recent Shapeshifters album. But once again, thank you for taking time today to discuss your participation in the upcoming Sawdust City Music Festival. And please, while we have you here with us, go ahead and select a track of your choice from that album that fans may just be fortunate enough to hear live on that Opera House stage.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me. You are both wonderful, and I really appreciate your support of all the music. This is how people hear about us, really. There will be, without a doubt, our single from the record, I See Gold, will be featured that weekend. It was our most poppy song that is resonating with our old fans and reaching out to new fans. It's got our mantra in it: you don't get more than you can take. Life mantra. Something to live by, words to ponder anyway. I See Gold.
Right. That's a great choice. Kerry, thanks again. And we will hope to bump into you in Gravenhurst when you're not squirreled away writing songs or on your trail run in just a few weeks' time.
Thanks so much, Leslie. Thank you, Martin.
When I give the sign for an hour in bed, bone weary hanging by a thread. One word and I'll be standing guard. My baby's call is my call to arms. My skin like bones bleach white, marked blue by another night. Leaning hard though I'm running, I feel a change coming. They say you don't get more than you can take, but when it breaks me, I see golden shadows. Change coming, everything's gonna be alright. Golden shadows flicker in the night. Let it go, everything.
That was the Good Lovelies with Icy Gold from their album Shapeshifters. Be sure to catch both the Good Lovelies and the May Hemingways at the Sawdust City Music Festival next month. This has been a special Sawdust City Music Festival preview edition of Gossip Talking Blues, the podcast from Great Dark Wonder. Please visit us online at greatdarkwonder.com and via social media at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and Tumblr. You can subscribe to this podcast at TuneIn, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and Google Play. Thanks again for listening, and check back soon for more great Canadian music and content.